Football is just around the corner, and you could start the season by winning $2 million in week one at DraftKings.com, the official one-week fantasy football site of ESPN. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. It's like a brand new season every time you play. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code EXERCISE to play for free for a shot at $2 million in the week one millionaire maker. Enter EXERCISE for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
The Bill Daughtry Show on 98.7 ESPN.
We are here on Saturday morning having fun with you on 98.7 ESPN. Last night, I got to call it the Yankees, the future Yankees. I won't call them JV. I won't call them the future Yankees. Lost to the New York Mets at Citi Field. Very convincing 5-1 win. Although it got a little scary at the end when Familia had to work out of that bases loaded mess in the ninth inning. But bottom line, boy, oh boy, New York Yankees now 4.5 back, so they are no longer in control of their own destiny. Well, they are in terms of the wild card, and if Houston was lighting things up, I'd be a little nervous. If the Houston Astros were really going to the whip, I'd be concerned. But remember this, Texas is blown by them and now lead the American League West. Houston has won 4 of their last 12 games. All of that youth, all of that pitching, I don't know, if they hit a wall in September, 4-12 in the month of September, that speaks volumes about a team that was lighting up the American League. So, you know, I mean, unless Minnesota makes a really hard charge, I think it's a pretty safe bet New York Yankees are going to be your American League wild card team, or one of the two. And for me, native New Yorker, we're talking 27 championships. We're talking about a team that every year is, well, you know, George Steinbrenner said, if you didn't get a World Series, it was a lost year. This proud, iconic franchise, and hey, let's not make small change of this. I mean, playoffs is playoffs, or in this case, play-in is play-in. Not a situation Yankees haven't been in before, although you got to go way back to 1978. Remember the one-game playoff against the Boston Red Sox at Fenway Park, a game that the Yankees ultimately won 5-4 and went on to win a second straight World Series back in 1978. I mean, they've been in this one-game playoff thing before, but that was because of a tie. Now it's formatic. Now they're not good enough to win the division. And last night, the Yankees partially a victim of circumstance. Who knows what Alex Rodriguez does if he gets to swing 3 or 4 times in that game. 6 homers, 12 RBIs in the month of September. This is obviously one of your key offensive players. Couldn't play last night, just restricted to a pinch-hitting role. There's no DH in National League parks during interleague games. Something that, you know, look, I've long been a proponent of play one way. Either you're going to have a DH or you're not. I'm a DH guy. Let's go for it across the board. I don't care about traditionalists. Tradition left the house a long time ago. Tradition left the night they turned the lights on Wrigley Field. And that was a long time ago. Stop with all this traditionalist stuff. Tradition, 4-man pitching rotation. Tradition, your ace gives you 250 innings at least. Which brings me to Matt Harvey. We get all the talk about $150 million payday. Maybe he's a $200 million pitcher. If you got these innings restrictions on him, I mean, do they last beyond this year? Because, I mean, yeah, after this season, Tommy John is a year in Matt Harvey's rearview mirror, a year plus. But look at Strasburg. Still a guy dealing with restrictions and safeguards, and he gets a ton of money down in Washington. But really, a $100 million pitcher? In this day and age, I get it. The standards are different. The standards are different. But this is the argument we got into with Rucco and Rothenberg at the beginning of the year when they were telling me, Matt Harvey is this, Matt Harvey is that, Matt Harvey is an eminently talented pitcher, and he will be on display. If you haven't seen him, that's hard to believe if you're a sports fan. If you're a New York sports fan, it's not even a conversation. But he will be on display on Sunday Night Baseball. New York Mets, New York Yankees, they've got one today, and then they go again on Sunday night. New York Mets. Boy, I'd love to say they're in the driver's seat. And I mean, from a numbers standpoint, they are. And the numbers are everything. Everything. And rightly so. When we talk about sports, we like to parse numbers, and the numbers dictate the conversation. Magic number of 9, 8, 9. They've got 16 games to go. They've almost got a double-digit lead. Washington making the old college try, but they're just running out of games. But with a tenuous Met pitching situation, and I get it. If you're the Mets, all you want to do, let's clinch this thing, let's wrap it up so we can start to plan it for the postseason. I get that. But right now, the Mets have two pitchers that they can just roll out there, count on to have a solid game, and don't have to worry about pitch counts or innings restrictions. Two. One of them pitched last night, Steven Matz. Pretty good job. Struggled early. But as the game went on, he got better and better. He gave you six innings, only allowed one run. The other guy is Jacob deGrom. And if you want to add a third, and it kind of bothers me a bit that his name is not a larger part of the conversation, but when you look back to what he did against the Florida Marlins on Wednesday night, you get why Bartolo Colon is, you know, he's not a guy that people are talking about to be a big part of this Met postseason pitching rotation. But right now, besides DeGrom and Matt's guys who you really think are going to find their way into the postseason, Mets really don't have that knockdown, drag out here, go give me 8, go give me 9. And DeGrom has been struggling a little bit. Steven Matz, like we said, he struggled last night, but as the game went on, as you heard him say in his post-game remarks on SNY, he settled in.
Yeah, I settled down a little bit there, especially after the third. Felt more comfortable out there, so definitely felt like I got stronger a little bit as the game went on.
So what changed for Steven Matz as this game went on?
Sometimes I try to get a little too fine with my pitches. And, you know, Trav kind of talked to me about that. And Dan, they just kind of told me to let it go and just trust what I got. So
Steven Matz, 4-0 in his brief major league career. Reminiscing a little bit of a guy who pitched for the Yankees back in the 60s. There's a generation that know him as the pitching coach of the Mets, especially during the Dwight Gooden years. Mel Stottlemyre got off to a similar start when he came to the Yankees late in 1964. I think he finished his rookie season something like 9-1, 9-2 with an earned run average that was almost below 2. I get that same kind of vibe out of Steven Matz. Difference is, though, Stottlemyre came up in what was then called a pennant race. Because the Yankees and the White Sox and the Orioles, they were all battling for that top spot in the American League when only one would make it. And Stottlemyre was the difference maker for the Yankees that year. Matt's not with that same dramatic win-or-go-home impact on the New York Mets, but still a very solid part of this team, especially in the month of September. Hey, 4-0 is 4-0. Steven Matz learning his big league lessons, and while he says he's getting better, what's the most important lesson he's learning?
Yeah, that's what it's all about. You got to get ahead of hitters. You know, early on I was scuffling. I was falling behind guys a lot. You know, leadoff walk ended up hurting me, but, you know, ultimately we got the win today, and really that's all that matters. So
some big home runs last night at Citi Field. Daniel Murphy in the bottom of the sixth, courtesy of SNY, Gary Cohen.
Murphy drives one, deep right center. Beltran takes a look. It's out of here! Daniel Murphy gives the Mets the lead with a long home run.
But before that, it was Lucas Duda.
That's driven deep to right field. Look at that, Beltran. It's out of here! A big welcome back to the power bat of Lucas Duda. 66 at-bats without a home run, and he breaks it emphatically with his 22nd of the year to tie the game.
Off the facing of the Pepsi porch. Those home runs, by the way, off of Yankee ace Masahiro Tanaka. And, you know, look, I can't leave Juan Uribe out here. Come on, Gary, give it to me. This is in the seventh inning last night.
Hammers one out to right. Beltran back to the warning track. It's out! Two-run pinch hit home run.
changeup that was up and away, and that's where Uribe sent it. I mean, every time he hits a home run, isn't it just thrilling to watch him finish? Because he knows it is gone. There is no doubt about it. Although last night he did bust it out of the box a little bit, but he said, ah, it's gone. I can trot now. All this good news for Mr. Terry Collins as he talked about his New York Mets and talked about last night's victory. Of course, talking about his starting pitcher, Steven Matz.
Well, I think he settled down after the first inning a little bit. I mean, even in the second inning, I didn't think he was real crisp. I thought about, from the third inning on, I think his stuff got better. Command got a little bit better. I was really concerned about the pitch count. He was at 60 pitches in three innings, and I just thought it was really important that he give us six innings tonight, and fortunately he settled down a little bit and got us through that.
From the joy of the Mets to the gloom or disappointment felt by those pinstripes, those New York Yankees, Joe Girardi in a nutshell in his postgame.
Well, I mean, we need to win games. That's the bottom line, and we didn't score runs tonight. We had some chances early on, and we were able to come up with one, and that was it, but we need to win games, and, like I said, we need to focus on ourselves and take care of business.
Joe Girardi and the New York Yankees trying to hold off Houston and Minnesota from the rear and trying to catch up to Toronto in the front. I think that part of the battle is over. Yankees only have three games left with the Blue Jays now. So unless something pretty dramatic happens in the next few days, Yankees aren't even in a position to control their own destiny. They simply have to win. But that's been a bit of a challenge for the pinstripe.
The Bill Daughtry Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Want to know what you're going to watch on Sunday night? Sunday night baseball, Sunday night football. Sunday night baseball, of course. Subway Series, Mets and Yankees. And Sunday night football, Green Bay hosting Seattle. Yum. That's going to be tasty. Now, I've got a short list of either teams or players that I want to see do it again in week two. Because you know how we just go over the top at one big performance, one outstanding game, and all of a sudden we think we've got a new star on our hands, and we just get out of control with these expectations and crowning people. See Odell Beckham. But when we talk about who we want to see do it again this week, week two of the NFL, short list. Marcus Mariota is at the top of my list. Kid had 35 points at the half last week. 35. I get it. It was against Tampa Bay. This week, it's going to be against the Cleveland Browns. I want to see if Marcus Mariota, I have no expectation of him throwing for four touchdowns. No. But I tell you what, I'll take two. I'll take two, maybe three. Wouldn't that be something, the rookie? Coming in, the number two draft pick, seven touchdown passes in two games. Marcus Mariota at the top of my list of either players or teams that I want to see him do it again in week two. Doesn't have to be as spectacular, but just win, Marcus. Just win. Throw two or three touchdown passes, win the game. Then I'll start to sign on to the number eight express. The Patriots and Buffalo. They play each other. It's a 1 o'clock game on Sunday. New England at Buffalo. Tom Brady is just a monster against the Bills. I think his record is 3 against Buffalo. Put the number you want in the front. 3. He beats Buffalo a lot. He beats Buffalo a lot in Buffalo. But coming off of the masterpiece performance against the Colts, now I think we can all agree that the Patriots offensively might be not a lot deeper, but a little bit deeper. And I know it just pains New Yorkers to give the Patriots credit for anything. Oh, those cheaters. They all cheat. Trust me when I tell you, they all cheat. But the Patriots up in Buffalo and Brady with this football, underinflated football-shaped chip on his shoulder that's going to be there all year. I don't think he's going to connect with Gronkowski three times. He may not even connect with him once. For a touchdown, that is. But I can't wait to see this one. I want to see that New England chip be very real against a coach that just can't stand him to begin with. in Rex Ryan coming off of a masterpiece theater performance against Mr. Luck in the Colts last week. I mean, they straight got embarrassed. Colts got embarrassed in Buffalo. Both of these teams, the Bills and Patriots, I want to see them do it again. Patriots ran roughshod over the Steelers the other night. I get what D'Angelo Williams did. Spectacular. Which just shows you that New England doesn't have a great run defense at all. And it goes back to my initial assertion in this program. If you don't have an elite defense in the National Football League, you don't have a defense. There's no reason even discussing defense. It shouldn't even be in the conversation. Because there's elite and there's everybody else when it comes to defense in the NFL with the way the game is played today. Buffalo could be one of those elite teams. But the Patriots just ran roughshod, did anything they wanted to a very sloppy, very unprepared Pittsburgh Steelers team. And don't tell me about the headsets up in Foxborough. Ridiculous. Not buying that argument at all. Pittsburgh just looked unprepared from coaching staff to 53rd man on the roster. They weren't there. They weren't engaged. I don't know why. Maybe it's because Brady showed up. But I want to see New England, and I want to see Buffalo. I want to see if they can do it again. Since I mentioned Pittsburgh, they entertained San Francisco. The Niners were a monster against Adrian Peterson and the Minnesota Vikings in the late game last Monday night. Carlos Hyde is the reason that we won our fantasy game in our ESPN league. Want to see him do it again. And last but certainly not least on my want to see him do it again list, the New York Jets. I want to see him win again. I don't know if you've noticed this, but since the preseason opener against Detroit, I get it, preseason don't mean nothing. And it doesn't. You're just getting prepared for the regular season. But I don't know if you've seen what I've seen, but I have seen a Jet team that has gotten better each and every week. And they carried that right into the regular season. Slow start against the Cleveland Browns, and when the bullets started flying, Jets were up to the task. Big Monday nighter against an Indianapolis team that got embarrassed. I don't think Indianapolis is anywhere as good as everybody thinks they are. Last year, they were good enough with the pieces around their quarterback, who was a great quarterback in the making, in Luck, but this year, with the acquisitions of Frank Gore and Andre Johnson, both those guys look like they were 90 years old. T.Y. Hilton gets his knee busted up in game one. He's probably not going to play tomorrow. I got Moncrief going on my fantasy team. A little nervous about the Revis thing, but the Indy Colts, they've got something to show the world, especially their home fans. Which just makes it that much more compelling of a matchup to me on Monday night. A game you can hear right here on ESPN New York 98.7 FM. A game you can see on ESPN and ESPN HD. I'll be with Bruce Harper out at Resorts World Casino on Monday night watching out there. If you're in the neighborhood, come on by. You don't have to gamble. Eat, drink, sit with us at Bar 360. We'll have a good time watching the Jets and Colts in a game where I want to see the Jets do it again. I don't know if they're capable. I think they are. I like what I see with Todd Bowles, and like I said, there has been this steady upward increment for them. And I think it continues on Monday night, but it's going to be a tough matchup against Indianapolis. What you watching on Sunday night? You watching baseball or you watching football? And by the way, big, big Sunday night right here on 98.7 ESPN. We've got the Mets and Yankees. We've also got Buster Olney, who'll be joining us in a couple of minutes. He'll be out at Citi Field for the finale of the Subway Series. 1-800-919-3776. Ira, Staten Island, you're on 98.7 ESPN. What's up, man?
Hey, Bill, what's happening? Now, to answer your first question, you know I'm watching Packers Seahawks, and I think that's a very interesting game. But, you know, for Sunday and Monday, you know, I love the Bills up in Buffalo. I think they're going to take care of the Pats. And you get on with my Jets. Like I agree. I want to see them do it again, and I know it's a tall task going into Indy, home opener, coming off an embarrassing loss, But I think you're right. I don't think the Colts are anywhere near as good as people are making them out to be. Hilton's down. Secondary, they got a lot of problems with injuries.
Their defense has always been soft. The finesse, small, undersized, speed-oriented defense, and they just get hammered by the big boys.
That's right. Carpenter, Mangold, Brick, Cologne, you know, Giacomini, they're going to push that defensive line all over the field. Jets play mistake-free football. I expect them to win. I really do. I know a lot of people aren't talking that way, but, you know, with Hilton out there, Moncrief, I like him, but I think Revis, I don't know if he's going to get Johnson or Moncrief. I'm not that concerned. I think the Colts are going to have to go to the tight end, and they're going to have to go to the running back, and I don't think it's going to be enough. Like I said, Jets don't turn the ball over. I think it's going to take about 27 points to win this game. I think they're capable of doing it.
Ira, I'll hold you to it. Thanks for the call, my man. 1-800-919-3776. Ira's watching football. Our next guest, he'll be watching baseball. I don't know what he'll have on his phone or his iPad or anything like that, Buster only. He'll be part of our broadcast team for Sunday Night Baseball, Mets and Yankees. He joins me next on 98.7 ESPN.
The Bill Daughtry Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Pleasure to have one of the great baseball reporters in the country. He joins us. He's one of ours. You'll see him on Sunday Night Baseball. Buster Olney, welcome back to the show, man. It's been a while. How you doing?
Absolutely. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So take me behind the curtain. I mean, here it is, Sunday Night Baseball. You're captive. Mets, Yankees. You going to sneak a peek at the football game at all on Sunday night?
No, not during Sunday night, because we'll be in the middle of the broadcast. But believe me, early in the afternoon, before I leave home, because I live here in the New York area, absolutely be watching football from 1 to 2:30 or so.
So, Buster, I mean, the Mets. This is a weird setup going into the postseason. I have every assurance the Mets are going to be there. Magic number's 8. It could be at 6 by the end of the night. I mean, I'm 99% sure the Mets are going to be in the postseason. But this Matt Harvey innings pitch count nonsense, it's starting to drive me a little crazy. When people start talking about, well, he's trying to protect the $150 million payday or whatever crazy number you want to throw at it. I mean, really? I mean, is a company going to spend that kind of money on a guy who maybe won't be as dependable as we all think he might be?
Yeah, I think if his next three seasons go well, he's going to make enormous amount of money. There's no question about it. So there's no doubt that he's got a lot of money at stake here. But I do think that based on the conversations that the Mets have had with Harvey and with Dr. James Andrews, that right now there's a detente between these sides, and they've worked it out. Harvey wants to pitch in the postseason. The Mets wanted to pitch in the postseason. And what they're going to do is he's got essentially three appearances left in the regular season. He's going to be on a count of about 70 pitches for Sunday night. And then on his next start, he'll be again on a count of about 70 pitches. And then assuming that the Mets are not in a situation where they're fighting for their lives in the last day of the regular season, he'll have a tune-up type appearance of 2 to 3 innings. And then he'll make one start in the division series, and then they'll be having conversations along the way between Dr. Andrews and Matt Harvey. You know, they'll be asking him how he feels. But right now, the feeling is that, you know, on all sides that they've worked it out to their satisfaction. And where Harvey, you know, I think his side feels like that he's being protected. On the Mets side, they just want to make sure that this guy's available for the postseason and focused on trying to win. But there's no question about it that I think because of how this has played out, that if the Mets, you know, have it go wrong and Harvey doesn't pitch well, there are going to be a lot of questions about how it played out. And there's going to be a lot of second guessing.
Terry Collins is the guy, Buster, who I think is hamstrung by this whole thing. I think he's done a spectacular job of managing with the parameters that, you know, he's had to, you know, go throughout the season with all of his starters. But, I mean, people talk about these stud starters. Matz is untested in the postseason. They're all untested, but, I mean, Syndergaard is looking like a guy who's hitting a wall. DeGrom has struggled his last few times out. You can make the argument, save Wednesday night against Miami, Bartolo Colon's been the Mets' most consistent pitcher for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and keep in mind, too, that it's almost certain that in the division series, the guys they would face are going to finish either 1-2 or 1-3 in the Cy Young Award voting, and that would be Zach Greinke and Clayton Kershaw, the Dodgers. So it will. You know, the young pitchers on the Mets are going to be the X factor going into the postseason, because there's no question that they're all have demonstrated that they're capable of absolute dominance against great hitting lineups. But as you say, Jacob DeGrom is not pitching as well. You talk to scouts with other teams, they say he looks tired. I think because of Harvey's workload cutback down the stretch, there are going to be some questions. You know, how rusty he's going to be in the postseason. Is it going to be is he going to be affected by the fact that his routine has been changed? You know, will Steven Matz handle the moment? You saw some anxiety in him at the outset of last night's game, and then he came back and pitched great. Just a lot of questions about those guys going into October.
Buster Olney, part of our family here at ESPN. You'll see him on Sunday Night Baseball, New York Mets, New York Yankees at Citi Field, Subway Series. It'll be game 3 on Sunday night. Buster, I got to get to the Yankees in just a second, but one more thing on the Mets. Yoenis Cespedes, 6 years is now the conversation, and he's suddenly 50-50 on whether he stays in New York. When it's all said and done, even with this waiver that's been placed on negotiations, so to speak, I mean, is Cespedes going to be a Met next season?
If I had to guess today, I'd say no. I do find it really interesting. I think it's smart by his representation how suddenly in the last week he's been made available to all these media outlets, and he's doing interviews about how much he wants to stay in New York. And rival general managers I spoke to this week have noted this, and they feel like, okay, if you're Cespedes, you want to keep the Mets in the conversation. You want to keep them intrigued. You want to keep them tantalized by the idea of him staying on board. But he set himself up for a huge payday. One of the general managers I spoke with guesstimating that he could be set up for something in the range of $150 million this winter. And I'm just working off of the Mets' recent history. I don't see them being that team. You know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they win the World Series and there's a lot of momentum that goes into those negotiations. But my guess is no, and that there will be some other teams that will also contend with the Mets for him. Perhaps, and this is a really interesting team because they're going to have money available, the San Francisco Giants, who are going to be in the market for a left fielder. So the Mets are going to have some competition for him, and the question is, will they chase the bidding?
Buster Olney, what does it say about the New York Yankees that I get it, no Teixeira, A-Rod reduced to a pinch-hitting role, but they have a game that they have to win last night. All their games are must-win pretty much, but they have a young pitcher on the ropes and they really can't cash it in. What does it say about this Yankee team as they get ready for a postseason? I think they make it, and I think they play Minnesota in the first round.
Yeah, and according to Baseball Prospectus this morning, Bill, their chances for making the postseason are 98%. Because even if they don't win the division, and that certainly looks to be the case at this point, the Houston Astros, who are behind them in the wild card race, they are floundering right now. Some of the other teams that are in the wild card race, the Angels, the Twins, have been really inconsistent. The best team in the wild card race right now might be the Cleveland Indians, but they're also they may run out of time. So I think the Yankees, in terms of making the postseason, are in a really good spot. And that's why I thought that last night, I know Joe Girardi's getting some criticism for not playing Brian McCann last night, and certainly for the Yankees it's tough not to have Alex Rodriguez in the lineup, but I think that they're kind of in a lose the battle, win the war type situation right now, and starting to get to the idea of preparing for October. And that's why I thought last night it was the right decision to not play McCann. I'm assuming he'll play today and he'll play on Sunday.
You know, it makes perfect sense to me. Of course, he's one of those Yankee elder statesmen, a tough left-hander, a day game coming up on Saturday.
Yep.
You got to pick your spots where, you know, you can't just roll them out like they're baseball cards. Buster, we were talking about the Houston Astros a few seconds ago. They've only won 4 times in their last 16 games. Is this youth and inexperience and the grind catching up to a young team, or is there something else to play there?
No, I think that's a big part of it. Look, overall, their offense has absolutely collapsed here in the second half. They were 4th out of 30 teams in runs scored in the first half. Then they dropped to 25th out of 30 teams in August. They're somewhere around 20 out of 30 teams in September. And they're relying on really young guys. George Springer has hit leadoff for them in recent games. You know, he's in his first full season in the big leagues. You've got Carlos Correa, 21 years old, their everyday shortstop. He's going through this for the first time. I think that's absolutely a part of it. And I think they're very vulnerable right now. But as I mentioned, the question is, are any of the other teams good enough to catch them? And, you know, will Cleveland have enough time to make up the ground that they have to between now and then and be able to jump over the teams that they're chasing?
Interesting. It's wild card baseball, talking about a 500 team contending for the postseason. Final thing, Pittsburgh Pirates, they suffer a big blow losing their shortstop this week. Last week, the Cardinals looked quite mortal, but now they've got the lead back up to five, and it looks like they're going to close this Central Division out. Do you agree with all that thinking?
Yeah, and I think the biggest question in the National League right now is, can the Cubs go past the Pirates in the race for the best record among the two wild card teams? You know, that would set them up for home field advantage. Jake Arrieta is going to pitch the wild card game for the Cubs in that game. And, of course, we saw the Pirates suffer the loss of Jung-ho Kang the other day when he was taken out on that double play attempt at shortstop. And he has arguably been the Pirates' second-best player behind Andrew McCutchen in recent months. That's a huge blow for them. And they finished a week in which they faced John Lester on Tuesday. They faced Jake Arrieta on Wednesday. Last night they faced Greinke, and tonight they faced Kershaw. Good luck with that.
Final thing, who's your National League Manager of the Year, Terry Collins or Joe Maddon?
Well, I think Joe Maddon's going to win because of the Cubs and their history, you know, not making the postseason and the way that they've stepped up after being surprised this year. I think Terry Collins is going to finish second because of how the Mets have played. But, you know what, I mean, you can make a case for either one of those guys. But I think Maddon's going to win just because he's going to be the popular choice.
Nice story at Wrigley Field. Boy, if they had only put those big boards in a few years ago, some of this futility might have ended.
Yeah, no kidding. All that talk going into the season about, you know, how Wrigley Field was changed and how terrible it was going to be, and it's turned out to be great.
As Buster Olney is for us at ESPN. Buster, enjoy football on Sunday afternoon and enjoy the work night at Citi Field with the Subway Series and Mets and Yankees. We'll be watching, my friend.
It'll be awesome. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Buster. Buster Olney, one of the best in the business, if not the best in the business of covering Major League Baseball.
The Bill Daughtry Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Football is just around the corner, and you could start the season by winning $2 million in week one at DraftKings.com, the official one-week fantasy football site of ESPN. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. It's like a brand new season every time you play. Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code EXERCISE to play for free for a shot at $2 million in the week one millionaire maker. Enter EXERCISE for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
The Blue Jays are looking for their first AL East title since 1993. The Yankees have won 13 since then. But who will hold the crown this year?
Throw to first. Got him!
First pitch on Wednesdays at 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio.